Welcome to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey. In today's broadcast, we hear the second part of Dr. Beakey's sermon on Romans chapter 13, verses 12 through 14, facing the future as soldiers of light. In the first part of this message, Dr. Beakey spoke of how we are to be prepared as those who are in Christ and also to be equipped. Part of that equipping, as Romans 13:12 says, is that we are to cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Dr. Beakey will continue and also speak of putting on Christ in the second part of the message. As you listen, may the Spirit give you ears to hear and a heart to believe.
Now, what are those works of darkness we have to cast off? Well, he tells us in verse 13. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. So there's three couplets here. We're to cast off three sets of two things. The first set is intemperate living. We're called rioting and drunkenness. Rioting here implies excessive feasting and boisterous carousing, a worldly lifestyle. Romans in Paul's day often got out of hand, and the festivals got out of hand, just like many do today, like many did last night. There's nothing evil about eating, of course, about having a good meal, sharing a good time together. But when we live only to eat, and when we become gluttonous, and when we cross the line into what Paul calls rioting, excessive feasting, boisterous carousing, drunkenness, we lose the Christian sense of sobriety and moderation of what it means to walk in the light. We need to cast these things off 24/7, 365. The second set deal with sexual license, chambering, and wantonness. Here Paul's referring to sexual looseness, immoral behavior, indecent practices. Includes all forms of sexual intimacy outside of the God-given boundaries of legitimate marriage. And how this wantonness plagues our land today. So much unbridled sexuality hinders and handicaps the usefulness of our nation in so many ways. It damages marriages. It damages society. It makes people think in wrong channels. It corrupts the mind. God is shouting with us as a megaphone as we drown in the pornography of today, of His judgment against such sins, though hundreds and thousands are dying every day in the midst of these kinds of sexual sins. We've got a better calling. We're to put off these things. We're to live as children of the light. We're called to stem, to be examples of stemming the tide of sexual abomination and filth that is drowning our nation. We're called to awake and put on the robe of Christ's righteousness. And then the third set is the set of ungodly passion, strife, and envying. Original Greek words here include the idea of aggressiveness, in your face, mischief making, backbiting, quarreling, standing up for your own rights, causing divisions, being cantankerous, ungodly passion. If someone rubs you the wrong way, you know how to ostracize them in a painful way. You know how to spread discord and strife. You know how to sneak a negative word behind someone's back about them. Put off, says Paul, all these works of darkness, the works of spiritual immaturity. Don't be filled with strife and envy. Get rid of these things. They hinder you. They hinder you as an individual. They hinder your family. They hinder the congregation. They hinder a nation. You're in a battle. You don't have time to be talking negative about someone else. You're to be building the kingdom of light, the kingdom of life, the kingdom of heaven. Stop fighting against each other, Paul is saying. You see, you're to be putting your energy, your strength, your shoulders under the same cause. You're to be fighting against a common enemy rather than be divided against each other. Put away all such works of darkness in 2019. And then in addition to these three couplets, there's a dangerous fourth column in this army. And Paul refers to that in verse 14. He says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh. You see, that's it. All of these can be summarized in this way. Don't make provision for the flesh, for the natural sinful man. Fleshly provision is abhorred by God. And it can be subtle. You can pretend that you're engaged in the spiritual battle while all along you're feeding and making provision for secret lusts. Perhaps you're attending church regularly, reading your Bible faithfully, involved maybe in many ministries, promoting a moral lifestyle, but meanwhile you make provision for fleshly lusts. You feed those lusts with internet surfing that can break down your moral sensitivities. It's like a soldier going behind the lines to pass out ammunition and food to the enemy in the dark while pretending to be engaged in the Lord's battle in the light. You're committing treason. You're acting like a false secret spy. Let that old sinful nature starve, Paul is saying, and die for lack of provision. Make no provision for the flesh. That's the way to live. Don't let a hint of it be known among you, says Paul in Ephesians. Squeeze the life out of it. Put the sword through it. Stop feeding the lust of the flesh. Cast off every sinful habit by the strength and grace of the Holy Spirit. And then put on. See, it's a simultaneous act. If you just concentrate on casting off, you'll just be naked. You have nothing to live for. But put on, he says, the armor of light. And where do you get that armor? Well, that's what Ephesians 6, that's why I read Ephesians 6, that's what it's all about. Ephesians 6 presents us with three kinds of armor. First, strengthening armor. Strengthening armor. Have your loins girt with truth. Have on the girdle or belt of truth. Have your feet shod with the gospel of peace. This equipment will make you strong and able to go forward into battle, into holy war. But then there's also defensive equipment, defensive armor, the shield of faith, which quenches the fiery darts of Satan, the helmet of salvation, by which you're able to be saved from a fatal blow. And then there's the offensive armor, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, to take the offense against Satan, against the powers of evil, by attacking them with the Word of God. Are you dressed every day in the Christian armor? That's the way to live. That's the way to go forward this year. Walk as children of the light. Walk honestly, says Paul, as in the day, wearing the Christian armor, outfitted, expecting the battle, ready to do battle against the powers of darkness. Ready to do truth, to live truth, to be reflections of truth in the midst of falsehood, in the midst of a shallow, corrupt society. Now, that doesn't mean that the child of light is perfect. We heard that last night too. Of course not. We struggle against all of these things inside of us as well. The struggles of Paul in Romans 7. And we're struggling with our insufficiency and our sin. But that struggle too must bring us into the light of God's Word, into the light of God Himself, to ask God to help us in our struggles, to walk honestly as in the light, Paul says. You see, an honest citizen doesn't have to fear all the lights being turned on. When you're driving the speed limit down the highway, you don't have to be afraid of a policeman. Paul says, walk honestly as children of the light. Walk with openness before God. When you do sin, confess it to Him and be cleansed by the blood of Christ and walk with integrity before the living God. And admit you're wrong. When you're wrong, confess it. Move on. Remember that when Christ comes, all the lights will be turned on the day of judgment. And there will be no secrets from anyone. And so live in the light of eternity as much as in you lies. That's what Paul is saying. He's saying, just come to God and say, Lord, you know my heart, you know my life, you know my shortcomings. I want to walk in the light. Search me, prove me now. If there's any wicked way in me, turn me around and lead me in the way everlasting. That's what you want to do. The grand day of light is coming. You want to be a soldier of light. You want to fight in the light. You want to conquer in the light. And the best way you do that is by getting equipped with the Christian armor and then simultaneously at the very foundation of the armor, actually the robe of Christ's righteousness underneath all the armor, is you put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the essential ingredient for everything. If we don't put on the Lord Jesus Christ, well, we'll fail every step of the way. Then our religion will be nothing but self-works, self-will, self-righteousness. So how do we put on the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, let me just give you five ways before I close. The first is this. We surrender, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, we surrender to a full Christ. Outside of Jesus, we're just full sinners. A full sinner, a whole sinner needs a whole Christ. And that's why you notice Paul doesn't just say, put on Jesus. He really takes the three greatest names of Jesus, the personal name Jesus, the official name Christ, and the title Lord. And he brings them all together to be a summary of everything that Jesus says. He says, put on the whole Christ, Lord, your master, be his servant. Jesus, the Savior of sinners, put on him as Savior. And Christ, the anointed, the prophet to teach you, the priest to intercede for you and sacrifice for you, the king to rule and guide you, put him on. The whole Christ. Let him minister to you in a fulsome way as a sinner who needs him in every way. So that's number one. When you put on the Lord Jesus Christ, you put on a full Christ. But secondly, when you put on Christ, you do that by faith. Faith has one object, Jesus. Faith believes in him supremely and treasures him. Faith finds us naked before him. Faith strips us of all our own righteousness. And then faith puts him on by fleeing to him and hiding ourselves in him. Surrendering to his evangel, his gospel, and embracing his righteousness, appropriating it by the Spirit to myself. God is not honored when we say, oh, may it one day be. God is honored when we say, Lord, I can't live without it. I receive it. I embrace it. Freely offered to me in the gospel. That's not presumption. That's a needy sinner who can't live without Jesus, putting him on by faith. Lord, I'm so ignorant and blind. I need the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so foolish. I need his strength. I'm so unrighteous. I need his righteousness. Show me the way, Lord. Teach me. Lead me by thy Spirit. Help me to receive him and embrace him and appropriate him and live in him and treasure him, that I may live in Christ and out of Christ and through Christ and by Christ and for Christ, that he may be everything to me. For me to live is Christ. We can only get that by faith, putting all our trust in him alone. And the Spirit is as willing to do that in us as Christ is to give Himself for us, as the Father is to give His Son to us. All three persons of the Trinity are equally willing. All three persons of the Trinity are more interested in your salvation than you are. They're not reticent. They're not stingy. They come and offer the Savior to you. And so Paul comes to you today and says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, the whole Christ, by faith. And then thirdly, we put on Christ when we follow His example, when we identify so with Him that we become like Him, when we learn to think His thoughts after Him in His Word, when we learn to have the very mentality of our captain, so that when He's designing a certain plan of warfare and gives an order, we are one with Him and march behind Him. Put on the mind of your captain, is what Paul is saying. He says it in Philippians 2, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Be like Him. He humbled Himself to the death of the cross. So you be humbled. Walk as He walked. Rejoice in what He rejoiced in. Weep over what He wept over. Bear your crosses behind Him. Have the same goals He had. Have the same enemies He has. We put on the Lord Jesus Christ when we think His thoughts and follow His steps and imitate His example. Become more like Him by sheer grace. And fourth, we put on the Lord Jesus Christ by grace when we feed upon Him. He said, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, ye have no life in you. You see, we consciously, intentionally look for Him in the Bible to as one old divine said, to draw Him out, to go in with a light into every text and draw Him out and feed on Him. We taste Thee, O Thou living bread, poeticized Bernard of Clairvaux, and long to feast upon Thee still. We drink of Thee, the fountainhead, and thirst our souls from Thee to fill. And we don't just do that at the Lord's Supper. Of course, we do it in a special way there. But every day of our lives, we want to say, Lord, give me more of Thy Son. Let me feast on Him in Thy Word. Let me hide myself in Him by faith, rock of ages cleft for me. Let me hide myself in Thee. Or, as James Deck puts it, O Lamb of God, still keep me close to Thy wounded side. 'Tis only there in safety and peace I can abide. What foes and snares surround me, what fears and sins within, the grace that sought and found me alone can keep me clean. I want to feast on Him. I want to know Him better. I want to know Him more. I want to know Him more profoundly. I want to drink of His fullness, to eat of His mercies. And finally, number five, we put on Christ when we depend fully on Him and are encouraged by Him. You know, there's a great privilege that Christian soldiers have that earthly soldiers never really quite have. We've got a better captain. We've got one that never fails. We've got one that wins every victory. There's something about Jesus that is superlative because He's God as well as man. Some earthly captains are charismatic. They're dynamic leaders. They can inspire soldiers to follow them by their very sight, by their leadership, by a turn of their hand. But there's none like this captain who encourages us to look to Him, to depend fully on Him. Look unto Me, He says, the author and finisher of your faith. By My Savior, Paul said, I can leap over a wall. By your Savior, you can be a David against the Goliaths of this world because the Lord is on your side. I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ in these five ways. No, we don't know what will happen this year. We don't know if terrorists will attack America again. We don't know if there'll be more rogue nations that will develop nuclear warfare. We don't know if our Western church will continue to backslide. We don't know if the dominion of sin will increase. We don't know if the Antichrist will gain ascendancy. But we do know this. We've got a captain leading us into battle. And when by the grace of God we put him on, we need not fear. He has promised, I will never forsake my own. He will be the protector of every believer all the way to the end. He will keep your every step all the way, dear child of God, to the celestial city. So be encouraged by him. He'll be true to his word. He'll give you strength for every need. But don't be a sleeping believer. Don't be a lazy believer. Don't forget to put your armor on when you leave your home in the morning. Be prepared. Be equipped. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Gracious God, we thank thee so much for these wonderful imperatives to cast off and to put on. Grant that this sermon may help us hate sin more and love Jesus more. Give us grace, Lord, for both the negative and the positive, and that we may live as casters off and putters on, casting off the bad things, putting on the Son of God, and going out to his battle. Please bless us to that end, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey, a ministry of the Gospel Trumpet. Please consider supporting the broadcast of Doctrine for Life with your financial gifts. For more information on how to donate to this ministry, and to download free booklets or audio files of previous broadcasts, please visit our website at gospeltrumpet.net. That's gospeltrumpet.net. William Ames said, "Theology is the doctrine of living to God. May God write the doctrines of the Bible upon your heart so that you may truly live."